Very cool.
So much more interesting. You know when, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't say this, but then we might work with a completely different partner such as TikTok.
I've literally been a car parking attendant before.
Oh my gosh, you're the CMO. But like, I'm just still a person. I'm still learning. He asked me a really interesting question. He was like, what is the best and worst thing about your job?
Okay, so mine was Christmas themed as well, actually.
So I was an elf. Stop.
It's always a really scary question, isn't it? Who are you? Gosh. Yeah. Hi, I'm Lorna, and I'm taking you behind the future.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Future. I'm Becky Sims, your host, and I have the amazing Alice with me today. Welcome back, Alice.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
Tell us a bit about who you are.
I'm a third year business psychology student.
Amazing. Ooh. Oh, and I loved having you on before, so I'm very happy to have you back. So welcome, welcome. And then we have the wonderful Lorna joining us. Lorna, tell us who you are and what you do.
It's always a really scary question, isn't it? Who are you? Gosh, yeah. Who am I? So I'm Lorna Bladen. I'm the chief marketing officer of an organization called Enterprise Nation. And essentially what we do in the company is we help people start and grow their own businesses. And I love speaking to young people. So Alice, I'm so pleased to have you here. And so I did just write down what you study, business psychology. That's so fascinating.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's quite like a niche degree. But yeah, I absolutely love it. I love like about people and like kind of the behind the scenes of the business, because obviously the people are what make business. So Completely. Yeah, I love it so much.
No, that's really cool.
Very cool.
So much more interesting. You know when, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't say this, when you hear people and they're studying like Viking studies and you're like...
Sorry for anyone that's dodging that.
No, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah. No, it's a lot. I think as well, my degree is quite like applicable to loads of things, because obviously like there's business everywhere and there's people everywhere. So I see what I study in everyday life, which is what I love about it.
I loved what you said as well, the fact that the people are the business.
Like, exactly.
You might even in a product-based business, it doesn't exist without the people. Like so many businesses are just, we're powered by humans. So actually the psychology side of understanding humans is critical.
So true.
Love so that. True. So you work at Enterprise Nation, Chief Yes. Marketing Officer. What's a Chief Marketing Officer?
You know what? I was thinking about this the other day. It is literally just words. Letters, CMO. Enterprise Nation is fairly small. So like, you know, you can have the CMO of, say, Vodafone, for example, and, you know, it's a multinational business. We are a team of like 40 individuals. So let me just get that story straight, because I don't know. But maybe that's something interesting. Like, I do find it a little bit cringe, the title. And also I find it a little bit cringe because I'm still like doing the dirty grunge work. And, you know, I'd be interested to hear your take on this, because I feel like even you can have the title, but particularly when working for a small business, like I'm still, you know, putting up roller banners and I'm still, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example here, scheduling, you know, Instagram posts or, you know, tidying the office. And I would never want to change that. Obviously, I do more interesting things as well, but I don't know why I felt like I needed to say that, because I think CMO can sound so like, oh my gosh, you're the CMO. But like, I'm just still a person. I'm still learning every single day.
I love that.
But in terms of like the fun stuff that I do. So I love the company. I've been working inside the company since 2013. So that's like 12 years. I have left the organization twice, which is something maybe we can talk about. And I think one of the reasons why I have worked for Enterprise Nation for so long, and this sounds really cliche and people say this all the time, but it is very diverse and fast moving. And every year, you know, brings on a completely different challenge. And the state of entrepreneurship has changed so much since when I started working, full stop, was around 2011. And starting up a business at the time actually was like super risky. Not that many people were doing it. It's kind of like the height of the recession. So people were starting up businesses basically because of necessity. There was nothing else out there for them. And I was really lucky with my first internship. And again, we can explore that a little bit. But I just love working with startups. And they could be, you know, people like you, Alice, who maybe come out of university and either struggle to get a job, don't want to get a traditional job, or it could be someone like you, Becky, as well, who is running a business and maybe needs some support when it comes to, I don't know, any sort of the many business challenges that entrepreneurs face, whether it's marketing, hiring, you know, the financial side. So we run amazing campaigns. I like to think they're amazing to support startups and small business owners, but we don't do them alone. We work with big corporate partners. So some of the best corporate partners that I'll, you know, just name a handful are Vodafone Business. Like, I love working with them. They are a genuine brand that have such an interest in backing UK early stage founders. So we'll run initiatives with them when it comes to like digital adoption. But then we might work with a completely different partner, such as TikTok Shop. And that's super focused on e-commerce businesses and how to sort of sell online. So we think about like what are the pain points that startups and small business experiences, and then run campaigns around those sort of areas.
I love that, because I feel like there's going to be different angles to today, because actually there's your story and how you get to becoming a CMO, but sure, actually the Enterprise Nation story, some of our audience will be thinking, I'd like to start a business at some point. And yeah, actually it's a great introduction for them into who Enterprise Nation are. Yeah. And I love your feeling about your title. Do you know, for so long I didn't put a title on anything. I, like when I started my business, like I was MD to begin with. I was like, I can't call myself an MD. Like, who am I to be an MD? So yeah, it's that weird
feeling. Do you
feeling.
Think it's a female thing? I'm just thinking. Curious about that.
I think it is definitely more a female thing. I think guys might, but I think it's definitely probably leans more. Yeah,
we should own it, but also like, I don't feel like I need it.
Yeah, we got to a point in our business where maybe we were about 12 people and we all had business cards, but none of them had job titles on. And we were at an event and someone was like, this is really confusing, why aren't you doing it? And I was like, oh, yeah, good point, actually. We should probably put some job titles on here. But I just felt really uncomfortable with it, because I was just like, who am I to say I'm the MD? Like,
but
I was 22, 23 at the time.
Oh,
like,
wow, that is amazing.
And you just think, like, what? How can I call myself that? But yeah, so I get your feeling. But you are an incredible CMO.
Oh,
and you shouldn't be excusing it that it's only a 40-person business. Like, yes, there's different scales, but doing incredible work.
I think as well, it's because, yes, I'm the CMO of Enterprise Nation, and yeah, I'm curious, Alice, to kind of get your take on this. But I'm also, maybe this sounds a bit icky, but I'm much more than that as well. And I think as you mature and get experience, for context, I'm 37, so I've been working for, say, 15 years. I feel like absolutely my title and my experience matters, but I think due to particular experiences that I've had, I'm also like, I really love downtime, and I love my friends, and I love my passion projects, which may not earn me any money. And yeah, I might not have a title for them, but they add like different layers to my character. So I think that's something that I do think comes with, yeah, experience and, dare I say, age, where I don't know. I think when I started on my career, I was so focused on, yeah, like maybe what my title was. And I think that's got me into sort of tricky patches where I found it really difficult to disassociate myself with the job. And that's when you, you nodded then, so I'd love to, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like what you're saying is that there's more to life than just your job. And like, you need to have a really good work-life balance to be a whole person.
I think it's really important. Yeah. And I really struggle with that.
Yeah.
And I have done a lot, and I'm really prone to burnout. And again, happy to talk on that topic because it's so important. And I'm really transparent about my particular experiences with that. But yeah, the more I've grown as a person, I'm like, you can still like love your job, but actually like, I am the most creative and the best CMO when I've had a week in Ibiza.
And yeah, I know you've been to Ibiza recently.
Or I've just taken like half an hour out to go for a lunchtime walk with my dog. I think in my 20s, I was like, no, must hustle.
Tied to the desk, got to keep working. Yeah.
And almost kind of like, oh, she's on annual leave again. Now I'm just like, no, that is really where people thrive. So I'm so pleased that you understand that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the time of life that I'm at now, like I'm about to graduate in June and then I'm kind of like in the race to like, you know, get picked and stand out. And it's like, it's good to know that like it's important to have a balance because we put so much pressure on ourselves to like join the race almost. And it's like, well, if you don't join it straight away, it doesn't mean it's the be all and end all. Like you can put time into other things that make you a better person rather than like a better worker.
Absolutely. I've hired quite a bit at Enterprise Nation, and when you just mentioned about like standing out, I'll maybe share one example. So yeah, I've had people apply for many roles with us at Enterprise Nation, and yeah, the marketing departments, we're still smaller, like around sort of 10 people, and not only do we hire full-time staff, but you know, we'll look at agencies, freelancers, interns, the whole mix. I had one girl apply for a digital marketing role. Actually, yeah, she applied for the digital marketing manager role, and her email was just so powerful. Like, it literally, thinking about it now, makes my hair stand up. It was so thoughtful, so considered. And I think we have to be wary, particularly like, I'm a big advocate of AI. I'll say that again. I'm a big advocate of AI. But I do think it's really important when standing out is to think about your uniqueness.
Yeah.
And there was something about her email that just really stood out to me. It just was different from the rest. She's still working with us. And she's, yeah, brilliant. I'm not sure that I'm explaining this very well. But it is really hard standing out. And I think, actually, don't be afraid of showing your personality and what you do outside of work as well. Like, you know, what is it that you really enjoy doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like, it is tough out there, and it's like you are competing with everyone else that's in the same boat as you. So it's like, if you don't get picked, it's not personal. Like, everyone's in the same kind of position.
Well, and also to that standout email, you can get caught in the trap of, do you know what, I'm going to just send 10 applications a day and I'm literally just blasting them out and therefore not putting the nice email in. Yes. Or you could go, do you know what, I'm going to really look at which companies suit me best. I'm going to look at what their values are. I'm going to check that they're a good match. And I'm going to really put my effort into a cover note. I'm going to record them a little 2-minute video saying, I really want this job. Or we've had, actually, Ellen's been on the podcast, which if anyone wants to listen, Ellen in our team, go back to that episode. She got the job because she got an internship when we weren't looking for an intern. She just submitted this amazing portfolio. She'd designed it in our brand. She made it really stand out and she just showed us she wanted the job. We gave her an internship, and then she's, 5 years later, she still works for us.
Brilliant.
Obviously not as an intern anymore.
but there is some statistic around so many jobs aren't actually advertise. And I agree, like, if someone, you know, if you, Alice, you know, sent me a note after this podcast today and said, look, you know, these are my skills and, you know, I can bring this to Enterprise Nation, I would 100% consider, like, please don't wait for a company to list a role.
Because
we're always in need of
help. I know, And sometimes you go, do you know what? This was just, it feels like a sign. This was the help I needed. Come chat to us. And sometimes it will be, no, actually, we haven't got anything. But actually, you've got more chance of standing out when there isn't an opportunity. And even if there isn't, for them to then say, we'll keep an eye out for a role for you and we'll get back in touch. Then actually, once there is an opportunity and the floodgates open and there's like 200 applications in and like half of them aren't even, they've never even done digital marketing before or whatever. And you're like, oh, this is really tricky. This, like, they haven't actually read the job or haven't put the cover note in. And then actually my fear is that you miss people because you're wading through so many. You just want the really good ones to come through.
Completely. Agreed.
So should we go back to the start? How did you get into marketing?
Okay. So I'll maybe take just like a little bit more of a step back. So I was never the traditional sort of academic. I Are you? I feel like you are academic.
I feel like at uni I am because it was my choice to be there. Whereas like at school I'd found it more hard because I was like, oh, I have to do this. Whereas at like uni I'm like, I've chose my degree. Like I've chose to be here. I took a year out before I went. So like I avoid burnout. Like I did a whole year of like just doing me. And then, yeah, so I'm like the year older. So I feel like now, definitely, but before, maybe not so much.
That's so interesting.
You know, the psychology of that as well, because you've chosen rather than being, well, everyone has to go to school.
That's interesting.
That is fascinating. So, yeah, no, I was a classic sort of B grade student. I did sociology, I did art, and I did business studies. So I always knew my parents were self-employed for the majority of my upbringing. So I always kind of had that in me to... yeah, maybe a little a bit more open to risk and kind of creativity and business. But my school was like so focused on like the red brick kind of student.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't that. And I actually think I was quite bitter about it because I knew that I was kind of pushed to the side a little bit. Anyway, it didn't bother me. And, you know, I did all right in my grades. But I did go to a quote-unquote polytechnic. And I don't know if there is still this to this age because I can't remember what year it was, 2006, 2007. I think there was a bit of a stigma around polytechnics. Do you know what I mean by a polytechnic?
Yeah, it's like the poly of like a main.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to Oxford Brookes and supposedly the students at Oxford Uni used to call us like the early learning centre.
Brookes, right. Not books. That's what they say.
Oh, Lorna. That's like a dagger to her heart.
No, anyway. I think it looks way more fun.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't take a year off and I should have done because I really fooled around in my first year. I was like dating a guy at the time. I never turned up for my lectures or anything. I basically flunked my first year. So I actually had to start again. My parents were... I don't think they were cross at me. But then I moved to London to live with my boyfriend at the time. And I did a lot of work experience for Office Angels, like I don't even know whether they still exist. Mm. And I was basically just planted into loads of organisations to do whatever they needed doing. And it was so cool. Like I was like in this lady's house, like typing her book. The next day I'd be in like a travel agent, you know, sorting out, you know, their leads. And actually, I think that was so good for me to just be thrown in the deep end. Like one example was I was in like London Zoo taking calls from like angry customers because, I don't know, the pandas weren't in, you know, weren't there.
About the pandas.
I know, because they weren't there. So that people would travel and the certain animals that they wanted to see weren't there. And actually, like, that really put me on my toes to just deal with lots of different environments and different people. And I just think I got like really thick skin for that sort of period of time. I then went back to university. I was like, right, ditch the boyfriend, like focus on the studies. Which I kind of did. But actually, I did, again, what we called a sandwich course. Do you know, again, what I mean?
A placement,
yes. Sorry, this is really dumb, me asking.
No,
just
no.
Weird well, terms, yeah, and
it's,
aren't they?
No, it's good to ask.
Sandwich. And I took a year out and I worked for a CRM software company. No idea what CRM was. To be honest, I think even when I was doing it, I didn't really know what it was. But I loved it. I think I really excelled there. I think I'm just much more of a doer rather than a thinker.
Yeah.
I found the strategy side of things like so boring. You know, like SWOT analysis. And I just, the doing was really good. They offered me a job. I actually didn't take it. And I went back to uni and then, you know, was the comms director of Brookes Entrepreneurs. And just like, I think my final year was like, okay, I know who I am now and I know what I want to do. So I'm really answering your question in a very long-winded way
here. No, it's good. And what was the degree?
Sorry, it was marketing management and sociology.
Perfect.
And again, it's similar to you, Alice. Like, I think that blend is so good to learn about, like, you know, the practical sort of marketing side, bearing in mind that social media didn't really exist.
Yeah.
So I'll touch on that because again, I think there's so much emphasis on the studies, but again, just to do take it with a pinch of salt because business changes so rapidly. But I guess the strategies still remain. But the sociology side, I just adored because it's all about culture and, you know, family makeups and yeah, psychology and market research. I really felt that blended really nicely with the marketing side. So in my final year of uni, I was in that same point that you just said, Alice, like, oh God, how am I going to stand out from the crowd? It was, yeah, 2011, and it was, there was a recession. There really weren't that many jobs around. And actually, like, traditional grad schemes just were not appealing to me at all. Like, I didn't want to work for the PwC or whoever else. There was no alignment there for me. Like, I think I always knew I wanted to work in small business. And yeah, so I sent an email to my best friend's half sister and asked her to speak at a Brooks Entrepreneurs event because I'd seen that she was part of this campaign called Startup Britain. I was like, oh, that looks really cool. So I sent her an email like, hi, Emma, would you come speak at this event? And I can't remember the exact phrasing. I'd love to find the email chain. And she basically said, no.
Thanks.
but, you know, would you like an internship at Startup Britain? And I was just like, yeah, absolutely. I'll take it. And, you know, it was probably like, you know, I was paid for it, but it was like absolute pennies. But the experience and the challenge and the variety and the connections that I got from that internship was just invaluable. And I'm really lucky that I was able to make it work. Like, I think I stayed with a relative in London at the time. And I think that's a really interesting topic, kind of access to opportunities. Like, for me, I used my network to get that particular door to be open for me. And I know that's not possible for everybody. Can I ask you a question, Alice?
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you will approach your network or are, yes?
Definitely. I already use my network like every single day. I'm a LinkedIn warrior. Like, I like Amazing. Everyone's post. I'm quite lucky that I went to a school that had like a big network and also where I live at home. It's a town, but it's very like local. Like, everyone knows each other. Everyone talks to each other. So I've actually had a fair few opportunities just from literally reaching out to people I know and then people referring me to people they know. And yeah, so yeah, absolutely. I always want to build and use my network all the time.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, LinkedIn,
she's a good egg.
That is incredible. Well, do you connect with me on LinkedIn afterwards?
I already have.
Well, let's hope Mona didn't say no.
Yeah, I hope you accept no.
Yeah. I absolutely will. LinkedIn didn't exist when I was at uni. So, you know, yeah, we had to do it in such like kind of traditional kind of manners. But I love what you just said then about like neighbourhood. You can pick up a job or, you know, an opportunity in the most unlikely of places.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that you've got that confidence to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky. Like, I've literally done, I told you last time, like, I've done the most randomest jobs under the sun. Like, you name it, like, I've done it. And it will literally just be, like, a friend of a friend, like, oh, I've got, like, this random work for, like, a week. Do you want to do it? I'm like, sure. Like, just say yes to everything, even if it's, like, not even relevant to your career.
No, yeah.
It's fun. Like, it's Absolutely. Good to meet people. It's good to try new things. Like, I've done, honestly, the most randomest things, but I'm like,
go
on,
you say your most random and I'll say mine and then
I've
use
got
it.
Mine as well. Yeah, go on. Okay, then. I think my most random, I literally have been a car parking attendant before.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I actually had so much fun. I got hot chocolate on tap the whole time.
Love that.
Like, I was Winning. Like, this is so fun.
Got your steps in as well,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Walking in little high-vis jacket. I was like, okay.
And also there's some power that comes with a high-vis.
Yeah, yes. I was like, this way, this way.
And then they want to go the other way and you're like, no, you have to go this way.
Turn around. Like, I'm
in the high biz.
Yeah.
Okay, Lorna, yours?
Mine was, this is a friend's family business, was they made Christmas cakes and I used to just roll the icing and cut the Christmas tree and put it on the cake. And just again. Ooh. I'm sure that whole process is automated now. And I think, yeah, like, I loved it because I was working at it with friends as well, which I think is, and I've always felt really lucky even now. Like, I work with people who are really close friends and that's really important to me. But also, like, I learned about like the manufacturing side and the marketing side, and actually the pros and cons of running a business with a family. So even though with your,
I will come to yours because I'm excited to hear what yours is.
You know, the car parking experience, you probably learned how to deal with tricky customers.
Yeah.
Or how to navigate, I don't know, mud.
Whatever. All weather conditions. Yeah. Definitely.
Love that.
Just a quick note from me. We'd love you to hit the subscribe button. This helps us more than you might realize when it comes to growing this podcast, ensuring we can bring you the best guests possible. Thank you. Back to the episode.
Okay, so mine was Christmas themed as well, actually. So I was an elf.
Stop.
I was about, I think I was about 18, 19. The guys in the studio are laughing as well.
Have you got a picture? If there is a picture, let's
put that on. See if I can find the picture.
Actually, maybe if we got a picture of all of us, have we got you and your homies?
I don't think I've got one in an
envelope. I'm hoping I don't.
I hope you do. We can get you a homie. See if we can borrow someone out on the street and just say, we need a photo.
I'm going
to borrow your homie. No, I was in between jobs. I'd not been enjoying a role, and I just I knew I wanted to start my own business, and I was in this phase of like trying to work out what that was going to be, and I'd been in a role and I wasn't enjoying it and left without a role to go to, and I was like, I need something. And literally there was this job for being an elf by the Santa's grotto in the local shopping center, and I was like, that sounds fun. Aww. And then I can go again in January and look for something. And I was like, that's better than sitting at home miserable. Because also trying to find a job just before Christmas, one's looking properly at that point. It's kind of more a January thing. So I loved it. I got my elf outfit. It was outside though. So wow, did I have to put the layers on? It was blooming cold.
All the tights.
Honestly, so many layers of tights. If you go and see an elf that's outside, like ask them how many layers of tights they've got on. There'll be a lot. But it was brilliant getting to meet the kids, getting to make sure Santa was all right.
That sounds so fun.
I really enjoyed it. I had so much fun. And also, what a way to get into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Like, I had 3 weeks of just Christmas. Oh, like, and that's being like my dream. Of it.
Yeah. Like, I loved it. So, yeah, randomest job.
I love that. And yeah, so feel good.
Yeah. But also learning from it, because you still get people that like grumpy. I was booked at 4:15 and I'm still queuing. And it's like, just calm down, because also your child's now getting annoyed. Like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, it's Christmas cheer.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. Father Christmas is seeing other people at the moment. So you suddenly have that. You're like, whoa, who knew that people could get moody about Christmas? But they can.
I know.
They can get moody about pandas. They can get moody about Christmas.
Yeah. Communication. Parking. And, yeah, like dealing with people. So I was at this conference last week in Amsterdam, and I just, funnily enough, just was doing a bit of co-working in the event space, and this guy sat next to me, and funnily enough, he lives like 5 minutes kind of down where I live in Brighton, and he asked me a really interesting question. He was like, what is the best and worst thing about your job? And I was like, oh god, I need to think about that. And he said, mine is, my favorite thing is people, my worst thing is people.
And I've said that before.
Have you? Yeah. Say why.
Well, because I think like they give you your best days and your worst days, like watching someone grow and helping them through their career,
so
and seeing them, like if I think of Ellen, for example, that joined us as this intern that we didn't even have an internship for, and seeing how she's thrived over the last 5 years. And like, I've got so many examples of people like that in the business, some of them in this room as well. Watching them grow is amazing. But then also people go and do silly things sometimes, and people lead you to having to part company with them because it hasn't worked out, and you're like, oh, why did that happen?
Or it's really hard.
And it's really hard because no one ever goes into a working relationship wanting it to fail.
No, never.
But sometimes it does fail. But then also, this story. So there was someone that worked for us that we had to part company for. And actually recently that person put a post out on, like, it was like National Boss Day and called me out as one of the best bosses he's ever worked for. And I was like, well, that just shows that you can also do things in a really human way. Like, actually it just hadn't worked out on both sides from a probationary point of view. But most people would walk away from that going, oh, that blooming
that
company.
Is so
but
wonderful.
Actually to go, do you know what? No, that's right. It wasn't right for either of us. Means that we handled it well. And like Laura, who is his direct line manager, handled it brilliantly as well, and just lovely. So people can make it tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
And customers, like sometimes customers can do something that you're like, oh,
why? Or like you end up with a team member crying because the customer's upset them and you're like, why has this all happened? So yeah, they can give you your absolute best days, but they can give you your worst days as well.
Yeah, I can agree more. And I think what's so important, and it's really hard to remember this when you're stressed, you're busy, you're time poor, but like your customers, your colleagues, whoever stakeholder it is, like, they also have lives outside of the 9 to 5. And quite often that is why they are tired or they've, you know, made a bit of a hiccup. It's not just because they're not good at their job.
Exactly.
Or they're not, you know, a happy customer, but there's external circumstances. And I think it takes a lot to digest that and be able to sort of navigate. It's all about psychology. And what is that book, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People? I haven't read it, but there are many other books that I have read to learn how to be a manager, because I haven't had any traditional training at all.
Same here.
Learned on the job, and I'm not perfect at all. And I mean, it sounds like I need to have a training session with you.
But I suppose you just learn though. But you know, when we first met probably a year or so ago, we had that video call, and you know when you just get a vibe about someone, you're like, oh, you're brilliant.
I get that vibe as well.
Yeah, we both had that conversation. Us three, this is beautiful. But you just get it sometimes, don't you? But you lead with your heart, you're empathetic. You also get that people are more than just the sum of what they need to do in a day at work kind of thing. So it's so important, isn't it? But
don't get me wrong, like, I have my grizzly days where I can, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And I think something that I'm, again, so lucky to have had with my career is I'm the same person in and out of work. Like, if I had to switch into like Lorna work mode versus Lorna kind of home mode, I think I don't know, like, it just would feel like I'm leading like a different life. But I'm very much kind of what you get is what you see. And for me, I don't know, like, I just like that. And no matter what I do in the future, like, that's absolutely a must for me. I've definitely had days. I actually had a day last week where I was probably a bit emotional on a call, you know, brought emotion to the call where I was a bit angry about something. And I was just like, why? I'd have to ask my team whether they like that or dislike it. I don't know.
But it's testament to who you are and to Enterprise Nation to be somewhere where you can be your whole self. Because there are lots of companies out there where they do expect you to walk through the door and turn into work mode.
Yeah.
And then you can turn into home mode when you walk back out again.
Yes.
And it's really sad. So again, but for some people, maybe that's also what they want. That's part of their kind of, we go to work and then I come out. And so I guess it's sad because that's not what I would want.
We're all different.
But it's different people, isn't it? But actually, for someone that wears their heart on their sleeve, they want to be able to wear that, like, I can't put it back in. It's on my sleeve. It's here.
So. I think it's nice as well because it shows that you're genuine and that you actually care about what you're doing. Because if you don't feel emotion towards it, it's like, if you can switch off, are you really in it? You know what I mean?
I actually think that's why I get frustrated, because I'm like, why doesn't someone care to the extent that I do?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I just have to remind myself, like, we're not saving lives here.
No. It's not that serious.
It's really not that serious. Like, am I going to care about this issue like next week or the week after or in 5 years' time? If it's a no, just...
Let's move on.
It is hard though, especially when, like, if you've put so much work in and other people aren't, it's like, oh, why don't you treat it the same way I do? But then I think that's just part of life as well, isn't it? Like, just in general.
It's the same with, you know, relationships, you know, whether it's family, partners, it's all very similar.
It's all relationships with humans. So you get this internship at Startup Britain.
Yes.
What happens then?
Oh my goodness. So it was my first proper job. And so there were 8 entrepreneurs that set up this campaign called Startup Britain. And it was really like high profile at the time. Like, it was in the press. It was getting a lot of backlash because government was backing it. And there were all of these other campaigns launching across the world. So Startup America, Startup Portugal, etc. So it felt like part of this national movement. And I was there in like these really high profile meetings. I was in and out of number 10 occasionally. I was just like, what is going on? But I do feel so privileged that Emma, my boss, my mentor, my friend, kind of gave me that opportunity. And never once was she like, gave me the impression that I wasn't capable. She really just had so much confidence in me. And I think it's so important to find that person or people or company that really is your cheerleader. And in terms of like what we did, it was, you know, it's just mad thinking back on it. It almost feels like a bit of a dream. So we did this like double decker bus tour, which again might seem quite generic now, but at the time it was so novel. I remember having to like find a bus company, found this one in Oxford, and I would have to design the bus and then figure out all the different locations that we would, you know, go visit around the UK. And then I was going back to the whole car parking thing, thinking about where to park the bus and the weight of the bus and, you know, whether it'd go under bridges. And then I would be doing sort of PR outreach and, you know, calling Liverpool Echo or whatever it is, saying, you know, we're bringing this bus tour, we've got these entrepreneurs and small business. And honestly, like I could speak all day about like that particular campaign, but there were lots of them, lots of different campaigns. And working with Emma, she is just an absolute entrepreneurial powerhouse, coming up with incredible ideas all the time. And she's just like execution. And I love that. Like, it just felt like the adrenaline was just there every day. I would say that I definitely had periods where I was like, God, I feel like I'm going to like hit a wall soon. And again, I think it takes time to realize like who we are as individuals, because we're all different. Like someone like Emma or my colleague Polly, for instance, they can just keep going. Whereas I've learned now and I'm very comfortable with it. I like a week off and I like to get into bed at 8 p.m. and watch, you know, Love is Blind or whatever it is. And then I kind of re-energize and then I can go at it the next day. But yeah, that first experience working with Startup Britain was just so phenomenal. And then I kind of just had a bit of a wiggly career since then. I did a bit of freelancing and then Emma brought me on to work at her company, which is Enterprise Nation, which I'm still working at to this day. I then did a bit of freelance for a company based in Wrexham called Moneypenny. And honestly, like, I couldn't tell you in sort of 5 minutes what my career journey has been like, because it has felt quite fragmented. And times it's felt really, I don't want to use the word like broken, but like it hasn't been like I do this. It's been like, oh, and I'm now supporting this company doing a bit of freelance sort of sales, or I'm helping this company with this event that they're running next week. And I do think that suits me. I don't know. Like, have you heard of human design?
No.
So it's a little bit like astrology, and I don't want this to go down to sort of too woo-woo route, because I know this is a hardcore business podcast. But like, basically the essence is like finding out like who you really are and kind of your unique traits and skills and wants and wishes. And I think sometimes we are forced down a particular route because maybe societal expectations, what our parents want, our upbringing. But I think, again, the more you experiment and, you know, like it seems like you already are, is the more you can understand like what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you're not good at. And it's okay to not be good at something, and it's okay not to like something. But I believe that I like, to a degree, freedom. You know, like today, I haven't had to tell anyone necessarily that I'm here doing this podcast. I kind of like that independence. I know that it's good for me. I know that it's good for the company. Maybe that's because of the position that I'm at. But I like that, you know, now I'm like, do I go back to the office, or maybe I just go and work in a cafe? I might go and see a partner later this afternoon. I really like that sort of that dynamic style of working. So I think I would be terrible working for, you know, a sort of very traditional sort of corporate job. But I don't know, maybe they're all changing now. And actually, they are more accepting of these sort of more fluid ways of working. Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. But it is funny, because sometimes I'll invite someone on the podcast and they're like, oh, I need to go and check with my manager. Mm. And I'm like, oh, I suppose, yeah, you do. Like, but also, I don't know, like, if my team were going, they wouldn't check. Well, I don't know. I suppose some of our delivery team that are maybe more tracking their time against projects, yes, etc., they might check.
Yes.
But I don't know. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't need them to check. I'd be like, yeah, go for it. Go, like, especially like in our team would know this, if it's helping the next generation, like, oh, go do it. Like,
absolutely.
How are they going to get started if we're not helping? Yeah. And everybody has a story to share on that. So true. Yeah. Oh, we love your journey. So, and that's so interesting, because when you first mentioned Emma's name, I was like, oh, is that Emma?
Yeah.
Because she's now left.
I could get a bit emotional speaking about Emma. She has left Enterprise Nation. She sold the business a couple of years ago, and I was with her throughout that journey, which again is a whole podcast in itself. And she then left the business earlier this year, and it really shook me a lot, because I think I got to the point where I was kind of like, can I do this without her? And I would share a piece of advice to the next generation, is to try not to bolt yourself too tightly with a company or a person, because things do change. And I think it's important to diversify. But mentally, I kind of wrongly thought for a period of time, like, I kind of can't do this without her, because she's given me so many opportunities. She's always been my biggest champion. And she left the business, and I was kind of a bit like, well, can I do this? Do I want to do this? And I did stay on, and it wasn't easy. And I don't really care if this does air and the current team watch or listen. But yeah, I did look at other roles, and I did think, you know, I'm going to start my own venture. And to be honest, like, and that still stands to today, there's no kind of certainty for anyone in terms of like what they do or don't do when it comes to career. So I think we always have to be open-minded that there are always other opportunities out there for people. And that's why we have to look after our team so well. Because yeah, like we're a fairly small team of sort of 30, 40 people. And the way that we've shaped the business is we need every single one of those people, and they are brilliant. Like, I feel so lucky with the team shape, particularly thinking about the marketing departments, like, so privileged. And sorry, coming back to why I'm sort of still at Enterprise Nation, I actually think that the team is one of the core reasons, is because I love working with my colleagues. It doesn't always feel like work. So there's that aspect. And also because I love what we do and our mission and our ethos. And because I started working with Emma in such an early day, this is 2013, I moved on to the Enterprise Nation brand. And traditionally, I was doing more kind of like event production, maybe a little bit of business development. Then as the business grew, I started working on the campaigns, and I worked with Meta on this She Means Business program. And we were training women on, you know, confidence and social media training. And now I'm in this CMO role, which is just like everything in between, from SEO, PPC, brand, partnerships, events, like, you name it, like, it's all kind of under my umbrella. And I think I felt this kind of like pull of my loyalty to Emma and do I leave too? But actually, like, I do really love the company, and I feel like I'm kind of a part of it. But yeah, like, who knows? But I guess my biggest tip would be, from my own personal experience, is, yeah, to try and diversify a little bit. And yes, you can be so dedicated to your job, but it's also really okay to have other passion projects and other networks and other communities that you're a part of. So for me, just as an example, like, some of the communities that I'm a part of is Rebel Book Club. Like, I love nonfiction books, and like, that's a super cool community, like, really like-minded individuals. I've recently been on an AI course, again, like, nothing to do with the company, something that I personally invested in. I set up my own community in outside of Brighton called She Shoreham. That's because I just ended up in this little town outside of Brighton, and I was like, I don't know anyone, and kind of just felt this urge to connect again with like-minded people. And I don't know what else I'm kind of a part of, but I like that that tapestry,
yeah,
and that kind of that differentiation. Because again, if you're so reliant on someone like I was with Emma, and that for whatever reason comes to an end. Like, I think it can really hurt people, and it definitely hurt me. And, you know, who knows, I'd love to work with Emma again in the future, but right now, yeah, I'm just like focused on what I'm doing and learning more about myself as a person rather than thinking like me and Emma, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I think you touched on a really interesting point there of no one's likely to stay anywhere forever. Like, it was her business and she was able to sell it, and then she stayed on for a bit longer and then move on. But no, back at the beginning, you would never have thought of Enterprise Nation without Emma.
No.
So anyone can move on. And actually, like, we really encourage people to talk about that. And talk about life after. Like, I want my team to know that it's not a taboo subject to talk about a day when you won't work in our company.
Yes.
Like, because let's help you look at what your future looks like and make sure you're getting the right experience. Because why do we make it this secret topic that no one can talk about? And then when you're going for interviews, it's all like behind closed doors. And it's like, actually, why don't you be really honest about it? Because also, if you can have that honest conversation, it might be that the thing you're craving is, sure, we could give you that.
Exactly.
And actually, we could give you that next step, and we could give you some more autonomy in your role or whatever it is you're looking for. Or it might be, do you know what? Actually, I think this is a really good step for you now where the business is. There isn't a next step for you to take, and you are ready for it. How can we help you? And also, we can now start looking at, is someone going to promote into your role, or can we look for someone else? And it's not a case of we're going to push you out the door. It's like, that might take time, but you can be adult about it and have a conversation. So
absolutely.
I
would love to know if there was someone in my team who was looking at other roles right now. And again, not because there would be any judgment from me. It would be like, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Whether it is getting that role or to help, as exactly you said, how can I help you get that thing that you're craving within Enterprise Nation?
Yeah. Because actually, you talk to everyone when you're looking for a new job. You talk to your partner, your family, your friends. But actually, the people that are probably most helpful to you to talk to are your colleagues, because they might also tell you things that you haven't realized or don't have the confidence in of, you're so good at this, you should go for this role. But if you keep it all secret from them, then they can't help you. So I'm such an advocate for changing that about the world of business and getting people to go, why don't we talk about this? Because it's just is a fact of life. Like, even founders don't stay in their businesses forever,
exactly,
as Emma showed. So why don't we talk about it?
I like that.
I love your story. I love your tapestry as well. It's a really beautiful word for it, of just
it hasn't always felt easy though. Like, I've definitely had I hope it's okay talking about this topic, but I've definitely had like challenges with my mental health, which have been so connected to career. Because I'm so driven and love what I do, when things haven't been quote unquote kind of going well, I've taken that like really personally, and it's really knocked my confidence and made me feel blue at times. And it's okay to kind of go through the motions through that. And I really hope my team would agree with this. I would always want someone to tell me if they just weren't feeling good for whatever shape or form that looked like, because I do believe that taking breaks and taking a step back is not failure at all. And as I mentioned earlier, like, I've left the company twice and I've come back, and actually a few other people within the company have done the same. I think like nothing's permanent.
Yeah.
It's okay to take a step back and be an elf.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be? But you know, it's interesting. Like, when I was growing the business in the early days, I've always been a big advocate of go and take holidays. Like, yes. I love travel, love travel. But I remember there was some probably mentors that I had that were maybe 10 years, 20 years ahead of me in business. And they, like, if they saw that I'd posted that me and Paul were away somewhere, they'd send a message of going, oh, off on a jolly again kind of thing, off on holiday again.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we work so hard that I need that downtime
to
reset. And actually, some of my best ideas about the business probably happen while I'm away, while I'm not trying to think about it, because you create space for it to come in. But you absolutely, like, and it is a good topic to talk about. It's so important. Physical health is something we've always felt comfortable talking about. Mental health, still many businesses aren't comfortable with it.
Absolutely. And I would say again, for someone starting their career, and it's easier sort of said than done, but if you are facing kind of knockbacks or closed doors, and it's so easy for me to say, don't take it personally, but just be patient with it and just know that the right opportunity is out there for you. It's, again, this is a piece of advice from Emma. This isn't from me, but like a no is not a no. It's potentially a not now. So, you know, just make the most of any space that you have to, yeah, like go have fun as well. Yeah. 'Cause I think there's so much pressure for young people to just like hit the ground running. That's unlikely. It's yeah. really unrealistic.
Are Duolingo, Nike and McDonald's some of your favorite brands? For all the latest marketing and brand news, follow The Drum Mag on Instagram.
I think it's really refreshing as well that you are talking about stuff like that, because I think a lot of people don't, but that doesn't mean they don't experience it. They just don't talk about it. So it's nice that it's just like an open topic of like, okay, I'm having a hard day today, but that's fine. Like everyone does.
Yeah.
Like, you're not an odd person out. You've not failed, like you said. It's just sometimes how life goes.
And push for feedback in your journey. So actually, I think when people get to the point where they're going out for interviews, etc., sometimes like businesses can be really rubbish and they just go, oh, sorry, Alice, you didn't get the job.
Yeah.
And then you ask for feedback and it doesn't go anywhere. Sit in that interview and say, so I know there's going to come a point where I've either got the job or not. If I haven't got the job, how can we go about making sure you can give me feedback from today? Because
that's a good idea.
Like, I do this in pitches, or sometimes we actually, for a pitch, we'll say, can we book a feedback call? Even if you haven't made a decision, can we book a feedback call for a few days afterwards? Because we want you to give us that feedback so we can learn and grow.
Absolutely.
So it's like almost try and negotiate with them before, either before the interview or in the interview, to say, I want to know that we can have a conversation about this, because I'm really like ready to start my journey and I'm only going to be able to do that if people give me feedback. And they'll also, that will catch them massively off guard of like, okay, Alice. And you're, they'll also be like,
I'm definitely writing that one down.
I love that proactivity though, and actually I think that's such a good trait in people, is that again, I think about this colleague of mine, Ira. She's so proactive and really kind of just goes that extra mile. I just think there's just so much value in that. And again, when I was sort of sharing my story of, I never really thought that I was the smartest or the most academic, but I do think that I'm very hardworking. And I do think, you know, I love to communicate with people. Like, I can't even remember how we got connected.
I think I found you on LinkedIn because I thought Enterprise Nation would be such a good, relevant business to talk about from an Aspiration Digital point of view, because there'll be a huge amount of people that come to our events or listen to the podcast that are thinking about starting a business. And it's like, this is a massive signpost towards a business that can help you do that, because it's daunting. Like when I started Reflect, I had nothing. No support. I just was making it up. Like, and actually I remember the Startup Britain campaign. I can picture seeing all the marketing around that. Because I started Reflect 2011. So that was just after.
Wow.
But it's a lonely place as an entrepreneur. So having somewhere to go.
Yes.
And also, again, that's another cringy word to call yourself an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like, especially when you're really young. You're like, oh, is that, am I an entrepreneur? What does that mean? But although you're not running like your own business day to day that you're working in, like you're so entrepreneurial, like, and you have done things that that would be classed as being making you an entrepreneur. But like, I look for an entrepreneurial spirit in people all the time.
So do
because
I.
Actually it's so much like, it's a huge thing to take the full gamble and go and run a big thing and go and do it. And some people just haven't got the right setup to be able to do that, the investment, the risk appetite, etc. But that doesn't mean they can't have entrepreneurial spirit. And oh my word, like to find that, harness it and use it, and actually they can go on to be some of the most successful people. They don't have to own the thing and have started it.
You're so right. Again, I don't have the sort of stats around this, but we are seeing this trend now that people later in life are, there's a huge surge in not just entrepreneurial appetite, but companies being formed by people who are in retirement, because they're like, I'm still, you know, I've got energy, I've maybe got a little bit more finance kind of in my back pocket to sort of invest in something, and I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And there's so much like, you know, what's the sort of the 30 under 30? Were you one of those?
I have been a 30 under 30 and one list. There's all different lists for it.
Different lists. And there is pressure for people to be in those lists, but it's also okay to start up a business in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And I'm seeing more of a trend in that.
Yeah. Well, I always say, because like speaking to young students, sometimes the pressure is like leave uni and start the business. Mm. But actually, if you've never really worked in a business, like, and you might have done your part-time jobs and all those things which will have given you loads of skills, but if you've never done the 5 days a week, turning up every day, the seeing how a business runs, to then go and run one yourself is really tricky. Mm. Like, I use this analogy a lot. I've got two kind of mindsets that I can swing to help me with things. And it's my best boss I ever had and my worst boss I ever had. Ooh. And I use them to go, well, that's something he would do. Like, oh, stay away from that. But that's something. And they were both guys, actually. But oh, my word, I remember, like, my best boss used to really lift me up. But if you've never really had that, because you don't always have such a relationship with a boss in a part-time job, it's maybe not quite the same. Mm. If you've never had that, how can you be that for somebody else? Because you don't know what it feels like. You don't know. Yeah, it's really hard.
I'm curious to know, Alice, like, do you have any entrepreneurial ambition?
I think it's okay I to do. Say no. You know, yeah. I think I definitely do. I have loads of things that, like, I'd love, like, if I had, like, unlimited money, I'd be like, oh, I'd love to, like, have my own business in, like, I love, like, the wellness space. I love spas. Like, that would be, like, one of my dreams. Or, like, you know, like, a David Lloyd's vibe where it's, like, a retreat and, like, you can just go and, like, work out and do yoga and, like, go to that. That would be, like, one of my dream
things. We should have filmed this in a spa.
Oh my God. Oh. Next time.
We'll do, like, the spa away day version.
That was so good. But I think also on a smaller scale, it's been interesting. Like, I've done a fair bit of work experience. I've done an internship. Like, I've started to build up, like, my own skill set, even though I'm still at uni. And, like, I've seen that people can make money, like, from doing social media and content for other people. Yes. And I'm like, well, if they're starting your own business, making money out of doing that, then why can't I? Like, I know how to do it.
So it's so achievable.
So, like, yeah, even, I mean, I've just got a new job on the side of uni and it's using that skill set again. And it's cool. Like, the more I can just build on it, who knows if I'm going to be in a patch where I have a bit of free time or, like, you know, need a bit of extra money. Mm. If you've got that skill set and you want to kind of turn it into a small business, then why not?
Some of the best businesses are those accidental businesses. You're oh, I'm actually running a business now. I didn't quite realise.
I need to employ someone or outsource.
Literally.
And you're learning, like how to raise an invoice and, all those skills really, really matter.
Yeah.
I think it's so exciting, this kind of phase that we're in now. And the barriers to entry to entrepreneurship have never been lower. Again, when I was at university, like, you know, TikTok, Instagram didn't exist. The sort of the job opportunities that were available to me was go and work in Topshop or, you know, whatever, pour drinks in your local bar. Whereas now, like, you could do translation, you know, there's social media, as you've just mentioned, there's so many opportunities. And sometimes that might cause a bit of a barrier because there's so much availability out there, and kind of knowing where to sort of narrow your focus. I don't really know where I was leading with that.
No, but it's true though, isn't it? It's choice overload of, like, choice there's overload. Too much option out there.
I also think if you look for it, like, I think people sometimes think, like, oh, I'm a student, so I can only focus on my degree. But it's like, if you just keep an ear out, an eye out, the things you can find are, like, just amazing. Like, I literally had a seminar last week and, like, one of the girls was like, oh, there's literally no work around here. And I'm thinking, I've worked the whole time I've been here.
I was like,
oh, I've just got a new job. And she was like, really? And I'm like, yeah, like, you need to sign up. Like, my uni literally has this thing called the job shop where they literally post jobs on it, like, every week.
We have this, though, at Enterprise Nation. Like, I have this guilty habit of whenever I'm, you know, maybe speaking at an event or something, I'm like, you know, who's heard of Enterprise Nation? And it always makes me sad because maybe, and it is great, like, maybe half the room put the hand up and I'm like, oh, like, why don't the rest of you know about this? But when you know something, you know it.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you don't know. And I think because we work in this sort of industry, you know, knowing about business support communities, or, you know, I just mentioned a sort of couple. So another community that I'm involved in is Upworld, and that's a great community for marketeers. But sorry, where am I going? This, I've, like, lost my train of thought.
I obviously work in sort of small business support. So I think certain things are quite obvious. And I don't mean that to sound sort of derogatory or sort of patronising, but it is such a minefield out there.
Yeah.
And as you say, like, you know, you knew that particular organisation to find jobs in your local area. But if you don't know about it, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, being inquisitive, asking questions, you know, connecting with people, and, you know, a lot of that just isn't on sort of traditional sort of Google search or, yeah, you know, ChatGPT. It's, you know, just don't forget to just like speak to your peers.
Yeah.
I think word of mouth is so undervalued.
And also help other people, because obviously now I've told her, like, she'll probably tell someone else. Like, yeah, it's good to like all just help each other.
Yeah.
And that is one of the best bits of networking, karma, I think, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
I love connecting people. I love like coming, yes, away from something going, oh, I should get Lorna to chat, yes, to so-and-so. And like, there's nothing better, because sometimes you then go and hear something incredible when it happened off the back, yes, of that. And you're like, brilliant. That was so easy to do.
Yeah.
And then, yes, actually you've kind of created a marker for them to remember you going, oh, that was so good. Alice did that intro.
Yes.
And then they almost want to pay it back. So they'll be like, oh, I wonder who I can introduce Alice to that might, yeah, help, yeah, her. So
exactly.
It's really good.
We all just have to help each other, I think. I think there's a lot, like when you're, like where I am, like coming into the working world, there are some people that are quite against, like, not networking, but they're like, if you don't go through the traditional assessment centre, interviews, blah, 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 then they kind of not look down on it, but like, I think some people are kind of against that. But it's like, if you help me, I can help you, we can help whoever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, everyone just help each other and, yeah, then everyone can be happy, rather than like, oh no, I can't help you, sorry. Like,
and I quite often get opportunities to maybe speak at an event or, you know, work on some particular initiative, but I can't make it for whatever reason. So again, when you've got that sort of like peer group, I'm like, yeah, but I can't make it, but you know, Becky would be brilliant,
yeah,
at that.
Yeah.
And again, that's helpful to the people, to the person inviting you, and you know, then you would feel good about it, and maybe then, yeah, think about me for something. Yeah. It's just a chain, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah,
definitely. So what haven't we covered? Is there any burning questions that you're like, oh, I need to know?
One of my questions was advice on building and maintaining relationships, because I know that's like a massive part of your role.
Yeah.
Just like, how do you do it, and like what keeps the relationship strong?
Yeah, that's such a good question, and it is something that I pride myself on, and I don't actively make connections, because that sounds very forced. And again, I've been really lucky that I've worked in roles where I've had to forge relationships, or I've been lucky to be in a room with lots of interesting people. But this sounds so cringe, but I really just try to be myself. I try to be kind and considerate, and yeah, just always think the best in people. And I'm at this kind of phase now where, you know, we sorry, just scrap that out. I don't really know where I was going with that. I think kind of over the years, is breadcrumbing a really like weird phrase?
No, I think I know what you mean by it. Like,
I feel like I've kind of like dropped a, it's like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. A trail
of kind of breadcrumbs over the last 10, 15 years. And at the time, it maybe didn't feel like something of importance. But I think if you leave a good lasting impression of someone, you can return to that person in sort of 5 or 10 years' time and not be afraid to knock on their door.
Yeah.
If you left a good impression. And, you know, yeah, there are still people that I met, you know, right at the start of my career that I have no hesitation to, you know, drop them a line on LinkedIn or whatever it might be, or see them in the street and be like, oh my God, hi. And that does happen. Like, I was in Camden the other day and I bumped into the guys that started Zero Waste Club. It's now kind of moved in, they've sort of transformed the business into Gomi Design, and they're now in Brighton, which is where I live. And we just had this time where we're like, oh, like, you know, the memes were so cool, and you know, what you did for us has helped us get there. And now I've been into their warehouse in Brighton, and you just never know where people are going to end up as, yeah, well. So like, always just leave a good taste in people's mouth, because you never know like how that connection can be of use to you, or, mm-hmm. you know, likewise, it's all reciprocal, isn't it?
I love that. I also, do you know, one of the things that I've noticed recently is if you connect with someone on LinkedIn, making sure that you put, it was so lovely to meet you on the podcast we hosted, or I mean, you're less likely to forget that that was you and Lorna. But sometimes if there's someone you've just met at an event, so like the event you were at last week, if you're like, it was lovely to meet at the Storyblock conference, then at least in 3 years time, if they pop up and you're like, oh, I want to connect with this person again, you actually know why. Because if you just sent that one, that plain kind of a look to connect with you isn't very inspiring anyway, but two, it really helps you out, because actually over the years you meet so many people that sometimes you're like, and my brain isn't very good for that, I'm like, how do I know that person? So actually I've made a real like practice of making sure I make that message remind me why I know this person, so that in future when I come back
such
to it,
a good tip.
And then also, personal touch as well,
and then it's much nicer when you do 2 years later want to know, oh, you know, we were in Amsterdam together, I was thinking about you the other day and I want to ask X, Y, and Z, or whatever it is. But
my mum shares with me loads of sort of tips and sort of tricks, whether I ask for it or not. Mums are like that, aren't they? But when, you know, she was a sort of high-flying career woman, and again, LinkedIn didn't exist in those days, but she always used to say that if she spoke to a client or whoever it was on the phone, if they mentioned their child's birthday or their husband's name, she would just take a note of it. So next time in conversation, in a non-sort of like, sort of slimy way, she would be like, you know,
in a personal way,
like, how's your daughter Alice, do you know what I mean? And like, again, I think that's really nice, and it makes a real difference when you've got two choices in front of you. Shall I go with this person or that person? The person that could have really remembered something about you, you're most likely to go with them.
Definitely.
And I have to write all of that down, because otherwise it goes like, it's like a sieve up here. So you've got to find somewhere to put it to make sure you've got it. But but how lovely is that though, when people remember things and doing nice things for people. Mm. And sometimes a nice thing is just to say, oh, I was thinking of you because of this. And just showing that you've listened is lovely. Mm. Is there anything, Lorna, you've not told us that you're like, oh, the next generation must hear this while I'm here?
There's a lot. I think there's so much hope in the next generation, and I feel like, again, I'm 37, but I feel like I learn so much from my younger counterparts, and I'm really lucky that I work with such a young team. And I do feel like that sort of like cringe kind of like older aunt at work.
You're definitely not cringe.
My advice would be to have fun. To have fun. Like, life is so short, and I think there's been so many times where I've been so anxious about, am I performing, and, you know, am I working hard enough? And actually, I think for me, like, the times where I've really thrived is when I've just let go a little bit, and I've not been afraid to take a step back and, you know, gone on that sort of like long weekend trip where I've then just had this genius idea, or I've met someone in the most unlikely of places. So I think, my sort of advice would be, I think you've clearly got loads going for you. Like, I've loved your questions, your preparation. You're really professional. And I'd love to stay in touch with you, Alice.
Definitely.
But I would just say, just have fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
I see something happening here at some point.
Yeah.
Spa.
Definitely that.
When I open my spa, you can come.
Well, you're going to need Enterprise Nation to help you understand all the kind of things to set up the business.
Absolutely.
And if you need some marketing help, you know where to come.
Perfect.
So, let's build a business. And it started here on the podcast. I've got some connections in spas as well.
Oh my gosh, don't excite me like that.
I haven't even graduated
really
yet.
Cool.
Oh dear, this has been so much fun.
This has been so fun.
It really has.
We could carry on forever. But I know the team will be like, no, you're meant to have stopped by now. But yeah, but we could have carried on forever. Thank you so much, Lorna.
You're very welcome.
You for sharing so openly and just such a beautiful journey you've been on. And I think there's so many little moments in there that people can take a lot from. So just thank you so much. You are wonderful. And everything you do and Enterprise Nation does is incredible. So
thank you.
And Alice, love having you here.
Oh, so I hope you
come back again.
I will, don't worry.
Good. Whether we want her or not.
I'll be back
in our bar frame.
Yeah. In my high viz.
Yes. Yeah, we need to find that picture or create that picture before today is out. Oh dear. This has been such a fun episode. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on another episode of Behind the Future. That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.